Next case for argument, United States v. Huerta. Mr. Chandra.
Respectfully, good morning, Your Honors. My name is Piyush Chandra. I'm with the Federal Defender Program, and I represent Mr. Aguilar Huerta. The district court, in this case, ignored non-frivolous arguments made.
Keep your voice up, Mr. Chandra.
Yes, Your Honor. The district court in this case ignored non-frivolous arguments made by the defendant at the sentencing hearing. Specifically, the defendant argued under 3553A1 that the court consider the circumstances of the offense, and that is that the court consider that the defendant committed this offense in order to be reunited with his family after being raised essentially since age 9 or 10 in the United States, was culturally American, and when deported, was essentially marooned in Mexico because he had no family support.
Well, did he marry, or at least he had a child in Mexico?
He did not, Your Honor. What he did was, after he reentered the United States, he lived a law-abiding life for 2.5 years. He then, during that time period, met his fiancée, had a child as he was working. What we had asked the district court to do was to consider that under 3553A1, the reason he reentered the country was because he was essentially had no support in Mexico and that he was culturally assimilated and had very strong family ties in the United States. The record in this case is absolutely devoid of any response to that argument after the defendant made a lengthy presentation about those details orally as well as through a prior written submission. In addition, the defendant also made an argument that the guidelines themselves, as to a 16-level enhancement that applied in this case, were unsound pursuant to Kimbrough. Specifically, what he argued was that the process that the commission went into in promulgating this guideline was not, it did not fulfill their institutional mission. We outlined this in a written submission. We also went into detail as to why that was the case orally. Specifically as to that argument, what we indicated was that in 1991, the commission had instituted a 16-level enhancement. That was done not pursuant to what the Congress asked the commission to do in terms of procedure or what we later learned as to what the proper process is through RITA. That is that the commission attempt to get evidence from participants in the community dealing with criminal justice issues, and based on that, based on empirical studies and data, formulate guidelines. What essentially happened in 1991 was that the commission received testimony from apparently just one individual, the commissioner of the Immigration Services, and that commissioner suggested that they needed a 16-level enhancement, and with very little discussion, the 16-level enhancement was imposed. We then pointed out that that was later modified in 2001 under Amendment 632 of the guidelines. In that situation, what occurred, according to the reasons for the amendment, what we have is a number of the commission responded to numbers of complaints from members of the community, judges, defense attorneys, probation department, that the aggravated felony definition itself, that is what constituted a 16-level enhancement, the types of convictions, was far too broad. Specifically, under the reasons for the 2001 amendment, the commission stated, because of the breadth of the definition of what constituted aggravated felony, that it was creating too many cases in which the 16-level enhancement was being applied. And so, therefore, what they did was they reduced the number of qualifying offenses for that aggravated felony for the 16-level enhancement. It, however, did not address any 3553A factors, as is required and as well explained in RITA. It did not follow Congress's mandate under 28 U.S.C. 994C2 and 994D, which specifically states 994C2, that when the Commission is to consider the categories of offenses, that it take into account, to the extent relevant, circumstances under which the offense was committed. So in our case here, it would be the reasons for the illegal reentry. 994D, Congress indicates to the Commission that when the Commission is categorizing different types of defendants, that they take into account the defendant's age, mental or emotional condition, family ties and responsibilities to the extent relevant. In 2001 and in 1991, the Commission made no attempts to do any of that.
The problem, counsel, is that the district court has the discretion to consider or not and accept or reject that sort of an argument, you know, in its complete discretion. And what you're essentially asking us to do is to accept the argument as a matter of law. At least that's how I understand your argument, and correct me if I'm wrong. And what happened here is that the district court apparently implicitly rejected it and gave your client a different sort of a break in coming in with a below-guideline sentence for other mitigating circumstances that the court saw present in the case. And, you know, where that's the case and where we have the kind of detailed explanation of the sentence that we have here from Judge Kendall, it's really hard to say she abused her discretion.
Well, what we're specifically saying is that we made a non-frivolous argument that the guidelines did not consider the reasons for this class of defendants entering the country. That is, the class of defendants that were raised in the United States and reentered for family ties.
Right, and we can conclude based on the kind of detailed treatment that the court gave to this sentencing proceeding that the judge implicitly didn't buy it, and she has the discretion not to, and that she gave your client a break of another sort, at least insofar as the application of the guidelines were concerned.
She did give the client a break of another sort, but what the court and the record is, I think, fairly clear on, is that the break was for completely different reasons than the good faith non-frivolous reasons that we submitted to the court. Specifically, what she focused on was the fact when he was at age 17, he had committed two aggravated felonies with 2 days that were 2 days apart. She spent a lot of time focusing on that and a lot of time focusing on the danger to the community that type of behavior obviously poses. And then she focused on the fact that since he's come into the country, he's been on, for those 2 years, very good behavior. And for those reasons, she felt that the criminal history category was too high. She specifically actually did not even acknowledge that the offense level really played any significant role in her sentence.
What do you think would be an appropriate sentence?
Well, Judge, I see my time is up, but may I continue?
Well, I wouldn't ask you the question if I didn't want you to answer it, would I?
Judge, we had a very similar case that I represented in front of Judge Bucklow on this defendant's brother, who was in exactly the same criminal history category and exactly the same offense level. We had argued for, given his motivations for coming into the country and the same arguments presented here, that he received a 24-month sentence. Judge Bucklow there sentenced him to a 30-month sentence. We think that that would be appropriate in this case.
This argument that since his family is back in Mexico, he would be more likely to stay there than try to come back in the United States. Was that made to the judge in those terms?
Yes, it was, Judge.
But that's separate from your argument that the guidelines are screwed up.
That's correct, Judge. We made the argument that the guidelines were screwed up. We made the argument separately that the judge should consider under 3553A the reason for his entering the country. And we also made the argument that because he now has family ties in Mexico that he didn't have originally, he's a lower risk to reoffend.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chandry.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Dale? Chandra, sorry. Mr. Dale?
May it please the court, my name is Yusef Dale, and I represent the United States in this case. The court in this case imposed a reasonable below guideline sentence and addressed defendant's arguments to the extent required by law. Defendant just argued that the court ignored his argument that the motivation or his reasons for coming back into this country. The court there did not ignore that argument. The court stated, I think it is mitigating that you have been back. I think that is mitigating that you have been here with your family. That is a clear indication and express indication that the court recognized the fact that defendant did come back to this country to be with his family, and that the cultural ties were those reasons, and that the court not only considered that but found it mitigating, and then proceeded to sentence defendant to a below guideline sentence. In addition to that, the court, before making that statement, referenced the fact that he has a close relationship with his family, that his mother and his parents did things to provide him with the things that he needed to be successful in this country. In effect, the court, when discussing his parents and what his parents had done for him, was piggybacking on his argument that they came in quest of the American dream and that they established those ties here in this country, that his parents did those things for him. And then the judge said, I think that it is mitigating that since you've been back, you've been with your family. So the court did not ignore defendant's argument for motivation and his reasons for coming back. The court expressly addressed those. Secondly, to address defendant's argument about the 16-level enhancement, the court did not expressly address that. But it is clear on the face of that argument why the court did not address that. It just did not merit addressing because it was a weak argument. In effect, defendant argued that the 16-level enhancement was not promulgated consistent with the institutional responsibility of the commission, but that is incorrect. The commission specifically referenced empirical data and experiences, sentences that have been handed down in district courts throughout the country. The commission specifically said in 1991 that it was instituting the 16-level enhancement to address, in response, in effect, to upward departures that courts around the country had been handing down in sentences with aggravated felonies. And so we know that the commission has access to national data. They collect that data. And what the court did essentially in 1991 was to invoke the enhancement based on what they had been seeing done in sentences. Kimbrough, in effect, enhances the government's position in this case because in Kimbrough, it is clear what happened in that case. The commission there did not enhance and modify the guidelines based on what they had been seeing. They simply went into a room and they had a calculator and they determined what the guideline would be without any input from, quote, courts, probation officers, and defense lawyers. And so the defendant's reliance on Kimbrough, we think, is null, and in effect, the Kimbrough court's, the Kimbrough's decision enhances our position here. The court here also said that it was the court found it extremely mitigating that since the defendant had been back, he had been law-abiding. And so when the defense says that the court ignored his other three non-frivolous arguments, that's incorrect. The court did not ignore that last argument, the argument being that his law-abiding behavior and his relationship with his new baby and his the mother of the baby, all those things play into the court's decision to mitigate downwards. In other words, what the court was saying was, yes, we see you have this new relationship with your new baby. We see that you have this new relationship, and you will be in Mexico. She didn't say, the court didn't say you will be in Mexico, but it was clear that the court was referencing that argument when the court mentioned the new baby and his law-abiding behavior and his employment. In other words, you will be less likely to commit future crimes against the public under these circumstances. And the court weighed that against deterrence, and the court imposed a reasonable below-guideline sentence. If there are no questions, the government will ask that this court affirm the sentence of the district court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dale. And Mr. Changer, your time expired. We thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Next case.